Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. The Femi Pod. This is episode 133 and it is great to be back. I unfortunately this week do not have my bestie Esty with me. Just a quick update from Est. She is going through a bit of a challenging time with her health at the moment. So if you want to send her some love, please do so. I won't go into too much detail and I'll let her fill in the gaps when she is ready to do so. But we love you, Est. We miss you and she'll be back on the podcast very soon. But I do have a very special guest with me this week who I am incredibly excited to talk to, the one and only Grace Wern, who is our Femi Run community leader in Sydney and also the Nike community specialist in Sydney as well. So Grace, I feel like we've had so many deep conversations lately and I'm very excited to get into some of those today. But firstly, how are you?
Good. Well, as a long-time listener but first-time caller, very excited to be here today. But yeah, I'm going great. We've had a great morning with Nike this morning, out running on the harbour. The rain has finally cleared, so in great spirits.
Yes, it was fun. I have been very concerned about the weather lately. I am definitely not a winter running girly and I hate running in the rain, but you know, we got blessed this morning. It was a little drizzle and it was actually quite fun. So I'm trying to embrace it. And we are like 3.5 weeks out from the Sydney Marathon, which is incredibly exciting. So we've got to keep those spirits high as we work towards race day.
Absolutely. And let's hope race day is similar to last year where the sun was out, Sydney was on display and it was incredible.
Yes, we don't want it to be too hot, please, weather gods, don't make it too hot, but like a nice crispy morning with a bit of sun is perfect. We love her running in the gloves, so it could be cold enough for the gloves and maybe a little takeoff on the way, but yes, yeah. The weather plays a big part, I feel, in turning up on race day. So Grace, I would love to go back to your childhood and understand the impact that sport had on you as a young girl. And how you kind of found running off the back of that, if it wasn't running, that it was your kind of key thing.
Yeah, I'll be really honest with this. I grew up in quite a dysfunctional household. So I found sport actually through a way to get out of home. I joined every single sports team when I was in high school. And it was a reason to be with my friends, to move my body, and also to give me that escape from some really challenging moments. And it's really funny when I reflect on sport, when I reflect on running and movement more broadly in my life, it's always been something that's found me in the moments that I've needed it most. And I particularly feel that with running. And so being able to have an outlet where I could really feel like I could be myself, express myself fully, and not have to surround myself with a lot of the expectations and things that were happening in my life, that's why I've loved sport and I've always found it a really empowering part of my life.
Do you feel like that was a conscious decision when you were kind of leaning into sport, or do you feel like you kind of just found sport and it built you into being this like confident, independent woman, and you look back on it now and be like, okay, that all kind of makes sense?
Yeah, if I'm really honest, I think it was a deliberate decision. Whenever I've had a chance to really move my body and really get into myself in that setting, I've been able to feel confident, be able to really feel like I can be the full version of myself opposed to other, you know, expectations that we have and elements like that. So I definitely think it's been deliberate. I think once I got the taste for it, I kept on going back and back for more. And whether it's been in like a community sense or even individualistically, I've always had some type of movement really embedded into parts of my life. And I look at that now and it's become a huge part of my day-to-day now. But even looking back to when I was a child or even in high school, movement was always a key thing for me.
Do you remember your first running race?
I do. Okay. I must have been in year 5. And I was a lot taller than all the other girls in my class. I'm like not hugely tall, I'm like under 6 foot, but I'm quite tall. And at that time I was a lot taller than all my other classmates. I shot early. And I ran a race and I came dead last, and someone came up to me and they were like, "What are you doing? You're moving your legs at the same distance as all the other people in your class with shorter legs. Just take bigger strides." And then I started doing that and won all the sprints. And then I was actually the athletic champion for my year, like year on year from year 7 to year 12. And I loved athletics and like high jump, long jump, triple jump. But it did take someone pointing out to me to use bigger strides to actually keep it moving.
You do have some long legs. I feel like we're walking together. I'm like taking two steps for your every one step.
Yeah.
But, you know, that pays off and you can use it to your advantage when you know how. So I'm glad that you figured that one out.
Yeah, took a moment, took someone telling me.
And then you mentioned the community space for you. Like, when was your kind of first introduction to running community and building a community, both like around you and then joining other people too?
Yeah, this would have been back in 2018, 2019 for me. I live near the Opera House in Sydney, and there was a local park and they had a boot camp. And as part of the boot camp, they had a run club. I'd never run with anyone other than myself up to that point. And I must have been about 25, 26 around that moment in time. And I remember being so nervous to go running with them. It was only about six people. It was really grassroots, just a handful of folks, different ages, different genders, just going out for a chill 5K. And I remember genuinely having to work myself up to feel like I could even just show up to that moment and feeling really nervous about it. Once I did, I was in. Right? I loved it. I love the idea of like just being with people first thing in the morning, the sound of like your footsteps in sync together, also running as a group. I'd never had that experience and realized how much like I love to chat. So I love talking with everyone on the run. I love finding out new routes in Sydney that I'd never run before. And I love the sense of being together as a collective. And it was through there for a couple of months I was going every week and really loving it, and the run coach stepped away and they asked me to step forward and actually run the club, which I was really surprised because I was only pretty new in, and I loved that experience so much. And it was through that I built up a little confidence, and I saw other run communities around my area, and I saw them have really large numbers within their communities, and I thought to myself like, hey, why don't I go and run with them, like I can do it here. And through that I joined King's Cross Track Club. I've been really proud to be a part of that club for about 5 years now and having the opportunity to lead it as well. And through King's Cross, that's when I firstly was introduced to Femi last year when we pulled together an event. And that was a really special moment for me personally. My experience in running had previously been very much focused on run clubs established by men, where a skew of the gender balance was towards the boys. And so having an opportunity within King's Cross, where we did have a skew towards the men, and having an opportunity to speak about hormone cycles and the women's lens of running felt really big to me. Like, it was a big shift even within our club culture. And not only did the women get a huge amount out of that night, but also all the men. And the amount of men that still come up to me and talk to me about the education around hormone cycles that they previously didn't know anything about. And so that was a huge shift. And then having the opportunity a few months later to launch Femi Sydney CBD has been an absolute delight. And I love that community deeply. So for me, that journey of like going from a really small grassroots community-led run club to something that was actually more embedded in run culture in Sydney has been really phenomenal. And I didn't expect any of it to happen, if I'm really honest.
Well, you deserve it. You put yourself out there and you are so there for the people, which is so important. And now I feel like with your role at Nike as well, you're part of every run club and every run community. You are definitely the most social run community member I've ever seen. And we love that for everybody because they all get a piece of you. But can we just go back to that first moment that you stepped into that run club and you felt that intimidation, you felt that kind of nervousness that you weren't going to be fast enough or you're about to keep up or you might not know anybody? Because I think what we see a lot, and even not necessarily the girls turning up on Friday, but there's a whole lot of women who I'm sure sit on a Thursday and think, maybe I should go to Femi on a Friday, or not even Femi, maybe I should go to another run community. And they think on it, they dwell on it, they are scared, and I completely understand why they end up not going because of that kind of feeling intimidated or feeling nervous or feeling like they are going to be by themselves. So what was that like for you? And when you turned up to that run club, did you feel any of that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. It took me a long time to show up to my first run. I was one of those people that sat on the fence for ages, was watching from afar, thinking, oh, maybe I can do it. Should I do it? And then just making that leap. I think the decision to make the leap is the hardest, but I think it's that bigger question of like, well, what if you just show up? It doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to be too nervous about just taking that step. Because even if you show up and you decide not to run, that's also okay. I'd say just take the step to show up, meet the people. And by and large, every run community I've gone to, everyone's friendly. They want to chat to you. They want to say hello. And you'll get that sentiment immediately when you arrive. I would then say as well, I completely understand that feeling of going, well, what if I can't keep up? What if I'm at the back? What does that mean? I think there's so much in that, you know, around that what if mentality. But what I would say is, if you are at the back, it's also a great place to be. I love being at the back. The back is the party pack, right? You can have a chat. You can take your time. There's no harm in needing to stop or take a rest or catch a breath if you're on a hill or it's going too fast. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, especially as women, to be perfect and to be at the top of the pack and all these type of mentalities. And I would say this extends beyond to first-time runners. I would encourage anyone in a run club, run at the back for a bit. Take that pressure off yourself. Enjoy the experience of running. It doesn't always have to be linked to, you know, I've, you know, achieved this or I'm at this rate in my performance. It can just be being present in that moment. And if you do go to a run club and you are at the back and you can't keep up, which I've had multiple times and I've had to step out, you know, for various reasons, I wasn't fit enough, it was too hard, I was just over it, whatever reason it was, taking that opportunity just to step out and go like, I'm going to walk the rest or I'm going to, you know, decide that this is the end of my run, you realize nothing happens, that it's all fine, that no one cared anyway. You know what I mean? So no matter what that experience is like for you, it'll be okay. It's just taking the step and the leap just to get to the run club at the start.
Definitely. And I feel like at most run clubs, I can't speak for all, but at most, even if you do stop to walk run, I would be surprised if someone else didn't stop with you, you know, like someone is most likely going to stop and walk run with you and you're going to probably have a great conversation, make a new friend, have a connection point. And that is why we do what we do. Like it isn't actually about the running. It isn't about the breaking PBs and running fast all the time. Like, yes, there are certain times or certain run clubs or certain days of the week where we are going to push the pace. As a runner following a program, you are going to have days where you are going for it. But at most run clubs, particularly at FEMI, it isn't about going out there and running as fast as you possibly can. And so everyone is there to just have fun. And like, if you need to stop and walk, people will stop and walk with you and just want to like have a conversation and make some new friends. So it is like definitely understandable why people get scared and don't want to show up, particularly if they're just by themselves and they don't know anyone. Like that is terrifying. And I feel that. I definitely do. But overcoming that, you'll be so proud of yourself. And then, you know, what comes off the back of that can be life-changing. It can, you know, I've seen firsthand people build entire friendship groups through run clubs and through the sport. And it's just so beautiful because it really helps people feel empowered in themselves and confident in themselves because they have that collective around them.
Oh, absolutely. And I even think to my own experience, the first night I joined King's Cross, it was the first time I'd been a part of like a larger scale run club. And there was a handful of women there, but it was mostly men. And I didn't really know where I kind of fit. And I remember we got to the Sydney Harbour Bridge and I started talking to one of the women there. It's flash forward 5 years later. We're best mates. She lives over the other side of the world in Amsterdam. We've run the Rotterdam half together. We stay in touch every single like month on month, year on year. And she was the first person that I properly met at that run club, and that's 5 years on. So I'd say definitely take the leap because you never know whom you might meet and the conversations that can go from there.
Totally. The other thing that you mentioned, which I think was so cool and what really brought us together, was the work that you did at King's Cross with FEMI by bringing us in to do an education session around female physiology and how to train as a woman and how to train sustainably as a woman. And that was so special. But something that we do talk about all the time is I really see running as a microcosm of society, and I feel like kind of what happens within our little bubble of running does happen on a broader scale. And what we've seen and what we talk about a lot, Grace, is so many different industries have been led by men, have been built by men, have been built for men, and women have almost been either forgotten or left behind. And then because we've been left behind, we've just kind of been shoved to the side, and there's been a little space found for us, but it doesn't really fit for us. But we'll just take it. We have to be grateful for it, because we're just lucky to have anything, is kind of how it has felt for women across the board, across many industries. And when we look at the run club culture and the run community space as it stands today, I don't have the specific numbers, but I would say at least 80 to 90% of run clubs have been founded by men. And we talk about the reasoning of that is because men are louder, they've got bigger voices, they've got more power, they get more opportunity naturally. That's, none of that is true. Like, we should have equal opportunity and we should have equal power, but unfortunately we've grown up in this patriarchal society where men just kind of get given those opportunities ahead of women. And so many of these run clubs have been established by men, and that has really built the look and feel and how this kind of industry of run club culture has evolved over the last 5 to 10 years. And I think it's really hard to kind of accept it, particularly as a woman who's been in the sport for so long, to say, you know, it's unfair that women don't have a stronger voice, or don't have as strong a voice in a space that really like speaks to us like the men have had. And it's hard. Yeah, I think for you, I think your perspective is really interesting, because you do, and you're very connected to a mixed gender run club, and then you also have your connections to Femi and the women's space. So what do you think we can be doing, and everybody can actually be doing, to help build a more equal community of runners for everybody?
Yeah, I know this is such a point that we're both very passionate about, and something that I've been reflecting on a lot, especially this year. When I think about something that we can all do, I think the first thing we need to do is recognize that there is a gender imbalance when we look at the leadership of run communities, whether it's Australia or abroad. I especially think back to 10 years ago, when you look at even Sydney as its own spot here, and the amount of run clubs that were here, it was very minimal, and they were predominantly led by the men. In the last kind of few years, when we've seen the boom in run clubs here locally, we are seeing more and more that have either at least one women lead, or it is actually established by women for women. And that's been an incredible shift to see, but it is only recent. And I think it's really important that we call that out, and we also look to and say to ourselves, you know, you've got a whole bunch of women in these roles that are voluntary roles as well, outside of their work and family and friendships and all these big things. And how can we support them and empower them, especially as they're taking on the reins here? Because it's a pretty steep learning curve, and a lot of the men have had a lot longer to really establish themselves and establish the clubs and establish what their cultural norms are going to be, whereas the women, by and large, haven't had the same amount of time. So I think we need to start first with that recognition. I think more broadly as well, we need to ask ourselves, you know, how do I want to feel when I come to a run community? What is it that makes me the most authentic version of myself? How can I, you know, even to take a step back, one of the things that I've found through running is that I can show up to a space and be unapologetically myself. Even in a time when I didn't really know who I was, I've been able to find myself. I've been able to come in with no makeup on, not caring what my hair looks like, just like coming in a scrappy t-shirt. And so, you know, it wasn't about putting on a show or being a version of myself that I thought others wanted me to be. I could just be me, and I could be sweaty, and I could be messy, and I could run, and it just felt really pure and really wholesome and really genuine. I think to that, and I think about that feeling and how much that confidence that gave me in myself. And I think about how we can take that mentality and shift it across all run clubs and think about it from that lens. Because I think when we all do that, rather than needing to subscribe to a certain, you know, aesthetic or a certain type of vision, we can create more space and more opportunity, especially for women to step up and to feel that they have a really incredible space. And I would say to any woman who is considering starting up a run club or stepping into a more of a leadership role or wanting to take that leap, go for it. Like, I don't have any formal training in running, and yet I've been able to hold all these incredible roles, and I love doing this every week. But again, it was just opportunities that came up out of the blue. Like, it wasn't intentional for me. And so I'd say you never know where that one conversation or that one opportunity could lead you, because I certainly didn't expect it to lead to here for me.
Yeah, it's so true. I think definitely women feel like they don't deserve to own a space that's their own, or that they just couldn't build the community that maybe they want to build. You know, like, I feel like because we've grown up in a world that's really like crushed our confidence over time, it's hard to then go back and say, no, like, you can do this, you can build your own community, and you don't have to be an anybody to do it. Just like, be yourself, and the people that will resonate with you will be the ones who turn up, and you will create this beautiful community that is yours, you know. But I think when you are on the outside looking in and you look at run club culture that exists today, it really gives off edgy, exclusive, cool, in quotation marks, cool underground grungy vibes, and a lot of that is just super masculine. And yes, women can also be edgy and grungy and all of that as well, but it definitely leans much more into the masculine side of running, and it's not super welcoming to women. So we want to make it aware to women that you don't have to fit that mold to be part of the running community. You can just be yourself, and like, you can be feminine, and whatever feminine means to you, like, we can do that and still be part of the run club culture. But we want to build a bigger voice so that we can have our own mark on what is being built right now. Because if you look at other industries where there is huge gender inequalities, let's talk about the healthcare system. And there has been way more research done on men and male physiology than women. And that has been going on for decades and decades and decades. And now we are scrambling to try and do the research on the woman and try and bring some equality to that industry. But it's going to take a long time, because that has been happening for much longer. Run club culture has really only being built over the last 10 years. We're still in the infancy of what run club culture is going to be. And so we have much more of a opportunity to actually have a say of what women want and what women need compared to what men have built over the last decade. And I feel like we have this huge responsibility to finally step up and actually raise our voice and say, no, we don't want another industry just being built by men for men. Like, this is our time to actually have something that's also inclusive to women and to gender diverse people, to everybody. And so that's why I feel like these conversations are so important, because we need to make change now so that the future woman, the generations below us, can actually benefit off having a space that's made for them too.
I completely agree with everything you've just said. And I think it's really important that we call that out, that again, that the run club scene or the run club community as it stands is only a decade old, really, in Australia. I know in other places around the world, certainly longer. And with that, you know, I can't help but think in my mind about how much it's an opportunity for women to reclaim our voice in these spaces as well, and look at maybe what the culture is setting, especially those that are from the male lens, and ask ourselves, well, where do we sit in this? How do we actually want to make this for us and reclaim that for our own? I think that's where I would love to see women in run clubs taking the lead. But more broadly than that as well, I think it's a bigger question, and I don't know if you've felt this, Lids, and I'd be really curious to know, but I know through my experience running in mixed-gendered crews as well, especially in this idea of like, what is a woman's place? I know I've had moments of like a gut feeling of like, that comment didn't land right to me. I didn't feel 100% great in myself in this moment, or I couldn't actually be the full version of myself, which is a bit funny, which is a bit silly, and all these things, because in that moment, I felt like I needed to be what others wanted me to be. And I think it's really, really hard for us to lead and to really assert ourselves when we have those feelings. I was wondering, have you felt that? And how have you managed to, you know, have such a outwardly such a strong stance of really being yourself? I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it actually makes me think pretty deeply around my experience growing up in the sport of running and being a female athlete and seeing firsthand how women in sport have been sexualized over the time. You know, like I think about myself in training and in races, in particular environments. Not saying this is, just to be clear, this is not across the board, but I do feel like I have faced in t at times in my life, times where I'm like trying to train and trying to like do the thing that I, you know, am getting paid for or am focused, like it's my job at some points, and I'm turning up to races and whatnot, and I can't help but feel like I am being sexualized. And I feel like now I think about the environments I do put myself in, and they're so beautiful and wholesome, and it's so far from where I was once upon a time, that I just feel so much more, like you said, myself. I can just turn up and be myself, and I don't have to kind of fit into this box of these expectations that I've felt from outsiders. Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's probably something I've never spoken about before, and I've always probably been too scared to speak about it. But I'm like, no, fuck it. Like, I do feel like in the past I've been sexualized in my sport, and I've probably lent into that because I've felt my worth being tied to my appearance. There's a lot of weight being put on the way that you look.
And that must be such a confronting thing to feel, especially in a race setting when it is so performance driven, you know, to have those feelings and to really question as well maybe what you are wearing when you know what I mean? Then that should be the last thing on your mind when you're in the mentality of, hey, I want to perform today. It shouldn't be like, oh, do I feel comfortable wearing this when I'm running? That's not where we want any woman to feel.
Totally. And I think it really leans into the fact or the reason why a huge part of why what we do at Femi and a huge part of what I do as an athlete and as a coach is not focusing on appearance. And yes, part of that is like because of my eating disorder journey and the pressure I felt to lose weight as an athlete. But I think another part of that is being sexualized as a female athlete and not wanting to feel that way. So now it's like, I'm going to show up. And yes, maybe I'll do my hair and I'll get my nails done. But like, I've done so much fucking work to get there to do the race that I actually like whatever I turn up wearing, it doesn't matter because I'm here to do the job and get the job done. And yeah, I feel like even now, particularly with social media and run talk and how much running has been booming on the socials, running again has become this like, in quotation marks, catwalk for women. But I have this like gut feeling that I need to push back on that because yes, we want to feel good and yes, a cute outfit makes you feel better. But at the end of the day, running is hard. And as you said earlier, it's pure and it's freeing and that's how it should be. So it shouldn't matter what you look like. And at the end of the day, yeah, just focus on how good it makes you feel just one step in front of the other versus like, I've got my nails and my tan and my hair and whatnot.
I was going to say on that as well, especially like to reflect on my early days of running, it was about the feeling, it wasn't about the look. If I'm really honest about when I started running, it was about that feeling I had when I was running. And I think this shift that we're seeing, especially with running related content online and social media, and it's incredible to see these outfits pop up and everyone really rallying, but it does take away from the feeling and it becomes something that we're all, you know, consuming and that it's all encompassing. And I really think heavily on the fact that, you know, we want women to be able to show up running unapologetically themselves. If it is getting their nails done and getting their hair done, awesome. If it is rocking up in a like in a big oversized t-shirt and you know basketball shorts and just, you know, and that's the style for you, that's great as well. It shouldn't be that we have to prescribe to a certain aesthetic or identity as women. It should be that we can just be ourselves. And I think this idea around, races and new catwalks, it does over commercialize us once again as women. We see time and time again we are sold product on product on product when also men aren't being sold the same thing. And as women, we're asked to consume that time and time again. And I think for women, this is a moment for us to be messy, be gritty, be ourselves. Why are we having to subscribe to these versions of ourselves that we haven't asked for? I think that's a bigger question we should be asking.
Yes, definitely. Like ultimately, I find a person, no matter ability, no matter look, size, shape, whatever, but if I see a person trying their damn hardest, sweating, red face, giving it everything they've got, I find that shit way more inspiring than a typical fit gal wearing a cute outfit with some nice hair doing a TikTok dance. You know, like, I want to see the grittiness. I want to see the rawness, and I want to see someone giving it everything they've got to make themselves better than someone who can make a good TikTok dance. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's diluted the sport a bit, and we want to bring it back to the real essence of what running is and how it makes you feel, and remove all the pressure of having to be a somebody or look a some way to turn up to a run club or start a running plan or consider themselves a runner. Like, let's remove all that and just say, who cares about that appearance? Like, let's just get more people running sustainably, because that is what will change their lives.
And I'd say, even to build on that one bit more as well, is like, how do we ensure that as women we can be seen for the complex individuals that we are? I think when we look at hair and nails as one subsect of running, it lessens the depth and the immense power and strength that I see in women. I think a lot of the times, even if we look more broadly at society, we can be looked at such a surface level. When I look at women, I see so much more than that. And I feel that that comes into play again when we only focus on the aesthetic when we're running, whereas women are so much more than that. Like, I'd much prefer to hear about your story and your childhood and how you've landed in the place you have today than where you got your nails done. Like, that's what I want to see from women runners. And I think the more and more we focus on the aesthetic, we lessen that and we take away from that, when I think women are so much more.
We are complicated beings.
Yeah, we are.
We've got a lot going on. And I agree. I love hearing people's stories. I love hearing how people have found running and how it has changed them and changed their lives, and the grind that they've gone through to get there, because running isn't easy, and it doesn't matter how fast you are, but if you've committed to running over a certain amount of time, you've gone through the shit and you've made it out the other side and you've transitioned yourself, you know, and that is so impressive. And that's the stuff that I love, and why what we do at Femi, you know, is it's all about that. It's just getting more women to love themselves and be confident in their bodies and go on that journey with us, and not focus at all on your weight or your appearance. Because yeah, trying to push back on that narrative, it's been incredibly hard. Like, you know, we started Femi nearly 5 years ago, and we've been trying to push back on the narrative that we're all here to change the way we look through exercise, which is complete bullshit. And it's been so hard to change that narrative, because we've all been fed, we've been fed this kind of story that we have to buy all the products and do all the things to look like the gals in the magazines do. And it's not true. So it has been difficult, but we've got incredible women like yourself, Grace, who are at the forefront leading the movement. And every single one of our Femi Run community leaders who are out there every Friday meeting up with women, whether it's one woman showing up or 100, it's just, that is the work that needs to get done. And if you're listening to this and you've been thinking about turning up to a Femi Friday and you haven't quite got there, I urge you to go along and meet the crew. These women are so incredible and are your potential future besties. And I honestly feel like the more women that can take that leap, the more that we can kind of encourage to give them a voice to then get them to go out and start spreading the right narrative to the women that need it as well. So we're all a big chain of events happening all around the world.
We sure are.
Yes. Well, Grace, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do, both within Femi, at King's Cross, at Nike. I love working with you. I feel so grateful to have you as part of our team, and I'm so excited to see what we can do. So just before we go, tell me about Sydney Marathon. What's the go? Party bus, I hear?
Yes, so we have a bit of a tradition at King's Cross. We're getting a group of us to all run together. So we should have maybe 20 to 30 of us for this year, and we're going to try and just be there for vibes and really enjoy it. We're not aiming for a particular time. We do have, you know, a bit of a goal, but we're not being too, you know, tied to it. We're just there to enjoy the fact that it's the first year of it being a world major, that we're going to go across the finish line as a group, and being really proud of all the training that we've done into the lead up. So it's going to be a great day no matter what.
Sounds like fun. I cannot wait to see you guys out on course. It's going to be such an epic weekend. If you're running Sydney, yes, if you're running Sydney, please get in touch. We're going to have some pretty exciting events going on across the weekend from a FEMI perspective. So stay tuned on our socials. But in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in this week. Send love to our beautiful girl, Esty, and I'm hoping she'll be back with us very soon. But thank you so much, Grace, and thank you to all of you, our community.